Direct from Music City, this is Live from Nashville.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
Fun to be back here with Live from Nashville.
Well, it is a ton of fun. And by the way, that was Roy Orbison and his great song, Pretty Woman. I have told this to Mary Kay, but I'll share this with our audience around the world. My dad used to have a store over in East Nashville, and I would drive down Highway 230 or Highway 31, Gallatin Road, and come right through Hendersonville. And Roy Orbison lived in Hendersonville, Tennessee, and I can't tell you how many times he would pass me in his little red Mercedes convertible traveling down the highway with those big, thick glasses. And it was always such a treat to see him traveling. But anyway, great song. We have a fantastic show today, Mary, and we are so looking forward to our guest. Our first guest is going to be Miss Claudia Nygaard, and then joining us in the last half of the show is a good friend, Mr. Chris Harris. But why don't you tell us a little bit about Claudia?
Well, you know, Claudia is a good friend of ours as well, so it's so fun to have her. Well, Chris is as well. So we have friends. We do.
Yeah, we have friends here,
and it's so fun to shine a spotlight on them, but Claudia, she's been described as a performer as fearless, vulnerable, and mesmerizing. And I love it as I was reading her bio because she's been described as having this twinkle in her eye. And she does. When she's performing, it feels like she's letting you in on a secret. And Claudia started her career in Los Angeles And then she moved to Nashville, where she landed a job as a staff writer at Greenwood Music Publishing. And Claudia has won a very prestigious award that I just think is so cool. She has won the Kerrville Folk Festival Songwriting Competition. And then with her latest album, she won the Tumbleweed Music Festival Song Competition as well. So we're just really thrilled to have our friend Claudia join us today.
Well, we're going to have fun visiting with Claudia, and we're going to be playing music from her award-winning album, Lucky Girl. But right now, let's take a listen to one of the songs from that album. It's called The Codependence National Anthem. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with our very special guest, Ms. Claudia Nygaard.
What I do. I'm always on the run. Nobody knows. I haven't figured out, but been on the run now for decades, and I haven't figured out who I'm running from.
Oh, wow. Well, where you been? Where you been up on the northern coast?
I just came back from New England and the D.C. area. I was up there. I played in, oh, man, this little town called Rockport, Massachusetts. It's like driving into a postcard. It is a little seacoast village. So gorgeous. I've played there twice now, and I have yet to have time to walk up and down those streets. So I'm just going to have to go there on a vacation.
Played
in Boston and then played down on Cape Cod, did a show, which was really fun. It was on International Women's Day. And
yeah.
I had a bunch of other women that are women artists who live on the Cape. And we did a show for WOMR radio up there, community radio station, kind of the station for Cape Cod, really. And we had just a blast doing it. It was so fun to play with other women. We need to do something like that with Mary Kay.
Yeah, we really do, Claudia.
Yeah.
Get busy and plan it. Yeah,
I
got
to
ask you.
Get busy. I'm plenty busy already. I just need to plan it.
Slow down and plan it.
Yeah.
Did you get any Maine lobster? Or did you get any lobster while you were up there on the coast?
I had the most incredible lobster scampi. I mean, it was when I bit into it, I went, "Wow!" out loud. The waitress said, "You like it?" And I said, "Oh, yeah."
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't normally say things like that out loud in a restaurant, but it was so good. So I did.
Well, next time you go, ship us a couple of lobsters back down here. So.
You know, I'd like to say I would do that, but I have a feeling what you get would probably just be the shell by the time.
Gosh. Well, this Lucky Girl album is just absolutely terrific. And so tell us about it. I mean, this is some serious stuff in the album. There's some fun stuff, but it's a serious album as well. And
in just
a minute, we're going to play Lucky Girl, the title cut from the album. But tell us a little bit about how this came together.
The song that they just heard is, you know who Steve Goodman was, for the benefit of any listeners who don't. He wrote The City of New Orleans, and he had a song called The Perfect Country Song, which he sent to David Allan Coe, which, he said, this is the perfect country song, and David Allan wrote back, there's nothing about trucks, nothing about mom, and nothing about prison, nothing about trains. So Steve Goodman wrote this whole Of course, you should play this sometime for the audience. This is a great song. But anyway, he wrote back this extra verse, and with all this stuff in it, which is kind of funny. It's a real funny verse. And it's like, I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison. It goes on like that. So anyway, I spent about 20 years in adult children of alcoholics meetings. And I thought, what this song used to be called, My Drinking Problem. And then one day I thought, no, this is the Codependence National Anthem.
There you go.
So taking nod from Steve Goodman, that's where I came up. It doesn't appear anywhere in the song, but it just, I thought, this is kind of, it's like the perfect country song, only this is the Codependence National Anthem. Because it took me 20 years to write it, basically.
Yeah.
If you count all the years I spent in those meetings. Lucky Girl, the title cut, is three true stories from my family tree. I had gone up to play the centennial of my grandparents' hometown of Glenora, North Dakota, which is about 8 miles from Montana and 20 miles from Canada, way up there. And that was my mama's hometown and my grandparents. And so they had their centennial a few years back, and they invited me up to play. And I was I had this whole box of letters from Norway that were all yellowed with age, but had been typed up, the translation been typed up by my mother and stapled to them. So I was able to read them. And after I read them, I was just kind of like stunned. I had never gotten around to reading them. And then finally, because I was going up there, I thought, I should read these before I go, so I know what I'm looking at when I go to the graveyard. I went to 10 graves in 10 days,
Oh, wow.
And, So So it was really stunning to hear these stories, to read these stories about, you know, it was John Adams who said, "I am a soldier that my son may be a poet." And that's exactly how I felt, you know, that these ancestors of mine, they struggled. So when people hear this song, they'll understand, you know, that my great-great-great-grandparents almost drowned. And then my great-grandparents lost 4 children in 2 weeks' time to diphtheria. And it was North Dakota in January, and they couldn't bury them because the ground was so frozen.
Oh, no.
They put them in the granary for the winter. I was just, you know, just like horrific. You know,
it is horrific.
One child, even if the child was full grown, is horrific. But to lose 4 children in 2 weeks' time, you know, I mean, just wow.
Wow.
Just brutal. So I started thinking about that, and I thought, yeah, and I complain because I might have to wear a mask or something, you know. Really?
Oh, gosh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's take a listen to Lucky Girl and come back and talk more with Claudia in just a moment on Live from Nashville.
My great-great-great-granddaddy on my mama's father's side went rowing down the Norway coast with 4 friends and his bride. When a big storm came around and all his 4 friends drowned, and there wouldn't be a me, but when he rose up from the sea to gasp for air, why, he had great-great-great-grandmama by the hair. And my great-granddaddy on my mama's mama's side homesteaded in North Dakota back in 1885. He built a house of earth where his wife gave birth. Then diphtheria hit the town and took 4 of their kids down. The ground was frozen. Couldn't bury them till springtime flowers rose. And I complain about the weather, I complain about warm beer, I complain I'm getting older, when I'm lucky I'm still here. I complain about the driving, and you know that that's just wrong. When I get to where I'm going, I get paid for singing songs. Lucky girl. And then there's my grandmother on my father's side, married to a man who drank, she had to leave behind. She raised her kids alone, worked her fingers to the bone, washing other people's floors, 'cause she was so damn poor, that's what she do. Got kids and all they've got is you. And I complain about the weather, I complain about warm beer, I complain I'm getting older, when I'm lucky I'm still here. I complain about the driving, and you know that that's just wrong. When I get to where I'm going, I get paid for singing songs. I complain about no boyfriend, when I'm loved. Lucky girl. Yeah, the truth is I'm a lucky, 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 lucky girl.
Lucky Girl by Claudia. You know, Claudia, I was listening to that song and I was trying to imagine you as a songwriter writing this. And it reminds me, the treatment that you gave that song reminded me of the song Bad Moon Rising. If you've ever listened to the words of Bad Moon Rising, it's about the end of the world, and it sets this happy beat. And I love the way you treated that song with so much joy. And
well,
all those,
because
all
I am
those,
a lucky girl. I mean, you know.
You are, definitely. I could, you could feel that
fortunate
in the song, but you also, yeah, you could have made it a ballad too, you know, all the hard things that they'd been through. But it was a celebration. I love that.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think about it when I was writing that, but mostly it was just, I tend to make fun of myself a lot in my songs. And this was, of course, one of them, you know, I complain about the weather, I complain about warm beer, you know, I'm such a shallow jerk, you know, and you know, at least
aren't we all
really had something to complain about. But, you know, they say if you live in America and you have electricity and a roof over your head, you live better than about 90% of the people in the world.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
right.
Just we just really
such
take it for
song
granted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
great
you
song.
Yeah, I was glad to get to write it. I wrote it while I was driving. So it's funny, I started, that's why I chuckled when you said, I'm imagining you writing this. I thought, well, is she imagining me with a steering wheel in my hand?
No, actually, you can feel, you actually feel the movement in that song. It does feel like a driving song.
Yeah, I
if
write a lot. I don't know if you
it
do or not, but I write a lot when I'm driving. I think it's something about the fact that I don't have my phone, I'm not on my phone, you know, and I'm not on my computer, and my mind is free to just, you know, free associate. And then the other thing too is I think that there's a natural rhythm of the engine and the tires, you know, as you're going down the highway, that, you know, that you have the combination of the chance to really think without interruption. You know, and I don't know what your process is like. For me, it's like something sticks in my craw, kind of. You know, it's like a, like making an oyster, making a pearl in an oyster. It's like you got to have some sand in there first, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
that's kind of how it is for me. I mean, something really, you know, sticks in my mind. Sometimes it'll be there for a really long time, and then it just kind of pops out as a finished song. But it's been something that I've been thinking about for years or something.
Been mowing, yeah.
I'm kind of wondering, Claudia, as you say that you're driving down the road and these songs are being formed. Do you record it on your telephone, or you just when you get pulled over, or what?
Yeah, I get pulled over a lot, so I probably
a lot.
I'm just kidding. Now I usually use my voice memo. I have an iPhone and I have a voice memo thing. And so usually I'll sing into that now. There was a time when I was younger where I carried a clipboard on the passenger seat. And I'm embarrassed to say how many songs were written that way, with the clipboard against the steering wheel. And, you know, not on busy roads, you know, but I mean, if I'm, you know, going across Nevada and I'm the only car I can see for miles, and I think, well, if I run off the road, I run off the road, you know, but, it's hard to make out, you know, because I try not to look at the clipboard. I just sort of write what I used to write, you know, looking at the clipboard.
Mess.
And then, and you get to where you're going and you look at it and go, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Thank goodness for iPhones. Thank goodness for iPhones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
saved my life, probably.
But yeah, probably so.
Yes.
Well, and, you know, I can't figure out how we ever got anywhere without the GPS. You know, it's I remember those days. Well, we don't have a lot of time because I know you have another appointment that you're going to get to, but I want to get to another song real quickly called I Wonder.
Sure.
Tell us about this song.
Well, you know, it's hard to tell about it before people have heard it. Because I don't want to give
it away.
You
can tell about it after. You want me to go ahead and play it?
Okay, let's do that. Go ahead and play it. Yeah,
we'll play it, and then we'll talk about the song when we come back. Our very special guest today is Claudia Nygaard. You're listening to Live from Nashville.
Turned and walked away. if I think of you. I think about you all the time. I still wish that you were mine, and I wish you knew that if I give your child away, I wonder, do you have my smile? And do you have your father's eyes? By now you're fully grown. Do you have children? What was best for me? All I had to give was love. Would that have been enough from a mom just 17? Oh, if I knew where to find you, I'd be give your child away.
It is from the album Lucky Girl, and it's performed by the amazing Miss Claudia Nygaard, who is our very special guest today on Live from Nashville. Claudia, that's awesome song. That is very, very strong. Tell us about that song.
Yeah. Well, you know, for starters, I wasn't going to put it on the album, and my producer made me. I thought it's powerful.
It's a powerful song.
It really is. You know, and another interesting aside is I played it for my sister, and she said, "Did you have a child?" And I said, "No, I'm just a damn good songwriter." Oh, I love that. I love if you can convince your sister that you had a child. You did a really good job on that song.
But you did a good job.
Where it came from, because I actually didn't have a child, but I never have. But I have many times wished I had and wondered what it would be like. I never had. I'm actually kind of old fashioned. I kind of think you need a husband to have a child to do right by the child. You know,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, things happen and people have to separate, but. At least from the get-go, it would be good to have at the beginning, at least. So anyway, I never had a child because I never had a husband that I felt would be a good father. So, but I always wished I did. And when I wrote this song, I was thinking a lot about the decisions a woman has to make when she is pregnant with an unwanted pregnancy, you know, and it just, there's no good options. That's the thing. I mean, there's none. There are no good options for an unwanted pregnancy. You're either going to have an abortion, or you're going to give it up for adoption and wonder for the rest of your life what happened to it, or you're going to end up marrying somebody, you know, in a relationship where there isn't enough love, or it wouldn't be unwanted, you know, or you're going to try to raise it by yourself as a woman, and you know, for this particular scenario, she's only 17, you know, so she's going to have to drop out of school and, you know, be poor for her whole life. And, you know, it's just, there's just not any easy solution. And that was what I was trying to say. I feel like some people say, oh, well, just put it up for adoption. Like, it's no big deal. It is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
So yeah. I was really trying to say that and just try to show the other side. It was interesting to me. I posted this song on Facebook, and a woman got on my case. She really jumped on me and said, and you call yourself a Christian. And I thought it was really interesting because there's nothing in there that's pro-abortion in that song.
That's true. That's true.
And it's that just saying this is just the experience of giving your child up for adoption if you don't want to, really, but you have no choices.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me because that is exactly why I wrote the song, is because that denial of looking at it from all sides, you know, from all the different things that a woman is thinking when she has an unwanted pregnancy, as you know, what can I do? What should I do? You know, what will I regret?
Yeah, you know, it's fun to write fun songs, and then there are times where you just have to write something that's really serious and real, and that song is very, very real for so many people. Well, Claudia, I know you've got to run. You've got an appointment that you've got to get to, and you have been so much fun to have on the show. Always great to visit with you, my friend. But for the folks that are listening around the world, tell us how they can find your music and make a purchase and follow your schedule, you know, because you're all over the place.
Yes. I'm on the internet, of course. You know, the best way to get in touch, to connect with me is from my website, which is www.claudianygaard.com, which is spelled C-L-A-U-D-I-A. N, like Nashville, YGAARD. You have to put both A's in there or it won't get there.
There you go.
And,
there you go.
You can also just find me on YouTube. But if you go to my website, there's a link to everything. You know, Spotify, YouTube, and then you can buy my CDs. You can sign up for the mailing list and you can see my tour schedule. The whole thing, of course, is on the website. That's the best way.
Well,
and there's a whole
ton
of videos too, you know.
You do a great job with your videos. You do a great job when you
definitely
do Facebook Live events. You're very, very talented.
Yeah. Oh, and there's
that.
There's one this Sunday, by the way. I'm doing a live streaming show on Sunday. So So if people wanted to go to my website or go to YouTube and follow me on or subscribe on YouTube, then they'll get a notification when I do the live stream. So,
all right.
Very cool.
So
that's right.
Hope people will check it out.
Well, I promised you that we would get you out of here on time to make your next appointment. But the last song that we're going to do is one called Like a Moth. Can you tell us anything about this before you go?
Oh, that one hurt. I have a propensity to fall in love with people, with men that ends tragically. and I got my heart broken.
I hate to laugh, but you said it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got my heart broke. And it was really tough because I was really, really enamored. This was years ago that I didn't write the song years ago, but I I had an experience years ago, and something happened that made me think about him one day, and that song just kind of tumbled out. That, you know, I had a therapist when I was going to Al-Anon also, and she told me one time, she said, you know, Claudia, just because you're attracted to someone doesn't mean you need to do anything about it. This was a novel concept for me.
Yeah.
But it's the truth, you know. I mean, you need to be careful, because you know you just go off the deep end and then you get yourself all ripped to shreds, you know, when you really should have been paying attention. You know, so.
Well,
anyway,
it's another great song. Another great song. Very talented songwriter, and not only does she write in the Americana genre, but she also is a great Western writer, and she's been on our shows many, many times before with her Western music. But it's a talented lady.
Yeah.
Visit her website, visit her on YouTube, and check her out on Facebook as well. Claudia, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. I hope I see you guys soon.
I hope so,
yes.
Too. This is Like a Moth. It's Claudia Nygaard. We'll be right back.
Yes, I was a fool, I know, to give
Listening to Live from Nashville. I'm your host, Gary Holt, along with my co-host, my beautiful wife, Miss Mary Kay Holt. And our next guest is a man of many, many, many talents. He is a producer, a songwriter, a vocalist. He's worked with artists like Amy Grant, Brenda Lee, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Reba, Willie Nelson, Gail Davis, Kenny Rogers. I could go on and on and on, but we would never get the interview done. He's done commercials for Southwest Airlines, Pepsi, Coke, McDonald's. I even saw something about, what was his name in the Chipmunks that you worked with, Chris?
You mean Alvin?
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Alvin!
He's been a radio disc jockey. He's worked in TV production. He is a super talented guy and a very good friend. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Christopher D. White Harris. Hey, Chris.
He is a D-Wit, dude. Good to be with you.
Well, it is great to be with you. Great to be with you. Yeah, it's fun going through your bio. You have done so much in a career that has spanned over four decades. And, you know, that's pretty good for somebody that looks like they're 39.
Well,
that's true. You do look very young.
The bones, you know, the bones be working, you know. I got the jelly. I still got the jelly bones of a 35-year-old. So.
Yeah, you got good genes, my friend.
Thanks for having me on today, and I just always want to say I'm grateful, so very, very, very grateful for getting to work on all the fun stuff that I've gotten to work on, and very, very, very thankful. So,
well, you have worked with so many people, and you know, your career goes back to what, your high school or your college days?
Well, for me, it started like when I was a little, you know, a young kid in 1968, and I just knew I had that, you know, one of those spirit moments where you just go, man, I know what I'm going to do. I just felt that God just that tug of the spirit hitting you in the gut going, do I go left or do I go right? And, you know, just as far as really feeling like I just had a real clear vision of being able to see that I was going to be in music or TV or radio. I didn't know how I was going to get there because I didn't really know anybody. And I'm just a kid living in El Paso, Texas in the 60s. And but then I get to Dallas. We moved there in the summer of 69. And I ended up going to this career development school in Mesquite. I'd go to my regular high school in Oak Cliff, Carter High School, go Cowboys, Carter Cowboys, number one. Then I'd go to over to Beat and go to Skyline, and RCA had built this like a magnet school, one of the first magnet schools in America.
Oh, really?
It was television, and it was three guys that had never taught. They were working in the industry. The guy that taught us lighting and set design came down. He had just retired from the Ed Sullivan Show. So there I was my junior year in high school, you know, doing half a day at my regular school and then going over to Skyline and having a 3-hour TV class.
Oh, wow.
These amazing guys. Yeah.
That's
so it
amazing.
Was like, yeah, I was in 11th grade. Can you imagine 30 students got picked in Dallas to go to the school? And you're there and they just go, here's the textbook that they told us to teach you with, and they just threw it in the trash the first day.
Oh my goodness.
and they go, let's go to work. And it was like, it was
wow,
just a dream come true. So then I ended up, the first job that I had, and then I'll shut up, and that is one of the first jobs I had was shooting, going over to EDS in Dallas, Ross Perot's company, and shooting training films and doing training films for the employees. Of course, we were the long-haired hippies coming in and telling, you know, the employees to get crew cuts. and so I did that, and then I got a job, and then I got on at Channel 8, WFAA, Dallas-Fort Worth. Got on at Oregon Production, and that's where my whole journey started. So,
Wow. Well, as you have progressed, I mean, you've performed, you've sung with everybody, you've produced everybody, and the list of those people just goes on and on and on. But one of the people that you have worked with is the young lady that's going to be part of this first song, and that's Kristen Chenoweth. And the song is Witchy Woman. How did this come about?
Well, this guy that I've produced a lot of records for, he was overseeing this label, Integrity, that was affiliated with Sony, right?
Yeah.
So he goes, hey, dude, you're going to produce this lady who's coming off this musical called Wicked. And that was 19 years ago, 20 years ago. And I said, who, what, when? I don't know much about Broadway. But I ended up going up to New York and producing a record on her. And she was signed to Sony Classical, right? So she had just finished Wicked. And then it was like, I ended up producing this project on her of songs that she grew up in Oklahoma in the church singing, right? And so, and some favorite songs, you know, and so then the movie came up that she was in, which was Bewitched with Nicole Kidman and Will Ferrell. And they go, hey, would you produce, after I did that record, hey, would you produce the Eagles song, Witchy Woman? It's going to be in the movie. And she's going to be in the movie, too. So, yeah, so that's where that song came from. And she, I mean, what, this lady.
What a voice.
I know, but she's nuts. She's crazy. She's so talented. And she was really, really, you know what she did? She really was raised really pretty much to be singing opera, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And then she ended up trying out on Broadway and got in, I forget what the first musical she got into. And then it was just on a whim. She goes over, tries out. She didn't have an agent. They said, go get an agent and we'll give you the job. So she won a Tony Award for, maybe it was Animal Crackers. So she what a blast. The first thing she said to me, Mary Kay and Gary, was, he goes, well, you know I've adopted. I went, what? I didn't know that you were adopted. So we went to dinner for 3 hours, and she told me all about her life and how this, she goes, this family that had no idea what they were doing, adopting this crazy girl, in Oklahoma. And so anyway, she went to OU, and then she ends up on Broadway. And now, you know, we went to see her. We went to see her at the Disney. My wife and I, Jan, we went out to see her at the Disney Symphony Center, you know, out in L.A., and literally, you know, it was sold out. She had been on West Wing for a couple of seasons, right? And we're standing there with her mom and dad, and Carol Burnett comes up right in front of us and gets down on her knees and just does the bow thing in front of everybody. This is at the after party. That kind of sealed the deal. So it was like, wow, for her, big deal. So,
well,
anyway,
it's kind of cool because Kristen is a friend of a friend of mine, and actually went to school with her. And so when she came and sang at the Skimmerhorn, I think my friend performed with her as well on that deal. But I heard she was moving to Nashville. Is she moving to Nashville, or moved yet?
I think they bought a place here. Yeah, he got married a couple of years ago, and I don't know him, but they got married, and they got a place here somewhere in Williamson County, I think, or Brentwood, but We haven't really talked to her in a couple of years. But you know what? I think I was at that concert at the Fairmore about six years ago. Something like that.
Yeah. But anyway, well, this is a great song. Super talented lady, a super talented producer. Our very special guest today is Mr. Chris Harris. We'll be right back. You're listening to Live from Nashville.
Pressure on a huge Eagles song, huh? It's like,
yeah,
oh,
no
man,
way.
We have to blow this thing up, man. So it was so much fun, and I just love me and Gary Pig and a girl named Lisa Cochran. We did the background vocals, and that was so much stinking fun to do those vocals. And we cut that track at Porter Wagner and Dolly Parton's old hang there on 19th Avenue in one of their studios. It's no longer there, of course, but that was a whole lot of fun to do. And to be with Chenoweth, I mean, it's nonstop. You're living in a cartoon.
She's a little animated
human.
Thing, I'm telling you.
A tiny human with an amazing big voice.
Yep, she's 4 foot, all of 4'11", so she's a powerhouse, and just, you know, it's been so great to see her. She went out to LA, and basically after she did Wicked, they did she got, you know, with an agency, and my gosh, they've gotten her on TV and movies and all that. And she's, man, she it's quite a feat to be able to go to New York and conquer and be the toast of the town. And those guys at Sony that I was dealing with, the A&R guy and the Peter Gelb, the guy that was running Sony Classical, what they do now?
What?
No.
They run the Metropolitan Opera. So it's like,
oh, wow.
These guys. Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
Whenever we want to go to the Met, we're always welcome to get a seat there, which makes it really fun. So anyway.
I would think so.
You just look smart.
Mm-mm-mm. So how did you hook up with Michael Martin Murphy?
Well, I'll try to do the short version. And I met him when I was 16 years old. We used to go watch him and hear him sing at the Rubaiyat, which is a little club, one of the little, you know, folk clubs in Dallas in 1971.
That's incredible. Wow.
All the years down later, Mike Blanton was managing him, who I went to college with at Abilene Christian, a few years ago. And I go, this exhibit is going to open up at the Country Music Hall of Fame called Outlaws and Armadillos, all about the Texas music explosion and Austin music. It's all, you know, Willie and Waylon and the whole thing. Well, I knew a lot of the story. I was going like, man, with the Horsefly music little label that we have that I've got with a good friend out in California, Steve Thomas. You know what? I said, hey, Steve, he was a major Murphy fan. I go, hey, this my friend manages Murphy. I said, we can line all this up. And then Murphy goes, he said that he wanted to do this thing called Austinology. All about the songs and the music, all the songs and the music of all the, really where the whole singer-songwriter thing, you know, blew up in Texas in the early 70s with Jerry Joe Walker and Asleep at the Wheel and all these unbelievable songwriters, Guy Clark. And so, you know, gosh, can you see me up on the ninth floor in Fort Worth, Texas, 4 years ago, just like I'm having to dig my toes into my boots and sit there and bite my lower lip and not lose it, because I'm sitting there all these years later, and Murphy was 74 that year, and we literally went into a hotel, you know, like one of those little conference rooms off of a bedroom up there that they have meetings at. We went up there with a mic, two mics, three headphones, engineer, me, Murphy, one guitar, and sat, and we recorded 16 songs.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm hearing all these songs that I heard when I was 16, 17, and 18. So then we came back to Nashville and just started working on it with him. And then we had all these people, and including Willie. We called up Willie Nelson's management, and it took 5 minutes. It was, oh, man. Willie would do anything for Michael, because Michael really was such an influence on Willie coming down to Texas.
Right.
And so,
right.
Oh my gosh. So then we do Wildfire. Well, I'll cut to the chase, and here we got Ask Amy Grant, which Mike Blanton managed Amy Grant for all those years. And so, here we go. We say, Amy, would you sing a Wildfire duet with Michael Murphy? And, she called me and she goes, are you sure that y'all, I'm really going to get to sing on this song? I went, well, yeah, that's all we asked you. She goes, no, you don't understand. Fire was the wallpaper of my high school years. And
oh,
I go,
my goodness.
Are you serious? So when we're in the studio, I said, Amy, I was 16 when I met Murphy. I told her, you were 16 when I sang on your very first record here in Nashville in 1977. So it was really just a sweet little circle just coming all the way back around to doing Wildfire with asking Amy to sing with Michael Martin Murphy.
Well, let's take a listen to Wildfire. It's Michael Martin Murphy and Amy Grant, and we're talking with Chris Harris today on Live from Nashville.
Dark of the moon I planted, but there came an early snow. It's been a hoot owl howling outside my window now, 6 nights in a row. She's coming for me, I know. And on wild both gonna go. Gonna leave.
That is the classic Wildfire with a twist. This time it's Michael Martin Murphy and Amy Grant. The album was Austinology. And Chris, I remember when the entire album was presented at the Franklin Theater a few years ago. And yeah. Amy was there. Yeah, you and Jan were there. And I think you performed. And Gareth Lafley, you know, you remember Gareth, the flutist?
Oh, yeah,
was
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, good
Absolutely.
Friend of ours. Gareth actually performed at our wedding when Mary Kay and I got married a couple of years ago.
He did.
Oh, are you serious? Oh, man. Well, we had him come over to play on Geronimo's Cadillac. Yeah, at the old Columbia Studios, which is still on Music Row there that Belmont Curb owns. But it was great to have him there.
Well, he's a fine young man. I'm going to out a real quick story because when I started into this radio program, it was all about horses. And about 6 months in, I decided I want to have a guest on the show and do music. And so my first guest was Michael Martin Murphy because of Wildfire.
Okay.
And
wow.
And then he invited me down to an event he was doing at Two Old Hippies in the Gulch, which is no longer there.
Yeah.
And so I met his daughter Fiona and Ryan, or his granddaughter Fiona mm-hmm. and Ryan. And I started putting on an event called Rendezvous and trail riding and music concerts. And Gareth was performing along with Michael Martin Murphy at my event. And that's how they met. And so you know, it's kind of a cool deal.
I remember when that happened.
Yeah, and then the neat thing is because I was doing the musical shows along with the horses. That's how I met my beautiful wife because she was a guest on my show. And and then six, seven years later. We said, I do. And
what?
Here we are.
Which was, what was the date when you guys got married?
October the 7th. What year, Mary Kay?
2020.
That's right. We dated and got married during the pandemic. And so that was kind of
we
a
did.
Cool deal.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But it's Gnarly. Just funny how all of this stuff kind of goes together, you know.
It is.
I love it.
So, you know, Chris, it's so fun. We've gotten to hear your music this week. And, of course, we're friends with you and Jan and just think the world of both of you. And I had no idea that you had produced for so many different people. Like Gary said, if we had mentioned everything that you've done, we wouldn't have had time to visit with you.
Oh, we'd still be talking.
But,
yeah.
But talking about love and marriage, my favorite moments, musical moments with you is when you are singing with Jan. And there is this connection and harmony between the two of you that is absolutely beautiful. And how long have y'all been married now? You guys have been together a long time.
Well, we've been married, this year will be 44 years. And what I loved about, and we saw you guys when we all went to see R.W. Hampton a few weeks ago at the Bluebird.
Yep.
Yes.
And that was a great night to be there. But I mean, it's like walking into the Bluebird and it looks exactly like it did. I think it was 1980 was the first year. I think I played there the first year with a guy named Dave Perkins back in when it first opened up. Well, Jan and I lived right behind the Bluebird. We lived, that's where we first lived when we got married here in 79. And Jan and I just walked in there, we just sat in a little corner there and just went, oh my gosh, just everything floods back into time. We go like this, nothing's changed. We go, and that the Bluebird is actually still intact. You know, it's being torn down next to it. But 44 years
there.
Ago we started.
Yeah,
it's still there, but 44 years ago. And, you know, we went to school both at Abilene. We were both at Abilene Christian. We were raised a cappella, Church of Christ, you know, hymnal books with the shape notes. You know, she and I would we always say, we would never have thought that we would have ended up married and being here 44 years later. We're grateful to the Lord, but I tell you, this lady, I wrote her a song called "I Didn't Have to Die to See an Angel."
Oh, wow.
All these guys are all waiting for me to kick the bucket so they can ask my wife out. So I'm like, I'm the luckiest man at the point. So then we're like singing all these old, you know, we just grew up singing the hymns, Mary Kay, you know, and singing in church. But she's in upstate New York, and I'm in El Paso,
yeah.
Texas. Now, what are the odds? Which is why we called the last project we did, I wrote a song called The El Paso Kid and the New York Lady. And so Taylor and Brandon, our sons, are now 38 and 41. And we always, when we're all together, we go, we just can't believe that we get to hang out with this lady. So we're so grateful. But,
oh, wow. Well, you set us up, Chris, because
you
we're going to get to the El Paso Kid and the New York Lady, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Live from Nashville, heard around the world at EquestrianLegacy.net, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iTunes.
still a mystery. Oh, the wheel keeps on spinning and life is still a mystery.
And really feel
Thank
that
you.
Western feel to it, you know, like a old black and white movie.
Exactly. You nailed it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be like James Bond meets Roy Rogers.
Yeah, I can hear that. I can hear that for sure.
In black and white.
That's funny.
Definitely. Well, Chris, tell our audience what you are up to lately. You've got a new home for your production and for your music. Can you tell our audience a little bit about your new home for creating?
Yes. I'm very, again, you just always say, we're just so grateful to still be working. It's, you know, definitely the music industry has had its challenges, but you know, this studio over here in Cool Springs in Franklin is an amazing studio that was built 20 years ago, and this friend of mine bought it a year ago, and it's actually like three different units, and the Irwin brothers are actually next door, the guys that just did the Jesus Revolution movie, and so they actually rent from us, so we're in this studio called Insight Studios, which is a company that Chris Thomason, this is my buddy, who we've known each other since back in the Jingle days and on Music Row in the 80s. And then he ran Integrity down in Mobile, Alabama, which is a gospel label, right? So he did that for like 16 years. So anyway, he put the investors together and bought this building. And this there's three studios. They're world-class studios, meaning the way that they were built. They were built as a purposeful studio, not just something that they turned into a studio after it was something else.
Right, right.
It was a purposefully built studio. And Russ Berger, one of the biggest guys on the planet who builds studios, did it. And, you know, what we have is Chris installed which is basically a Dolby Atmos mix room. So you're able to mix, you know, up to 15 sources. You've got 15 speakers. So, you know, Atmos is real huge in the movies. And then also Apple has taken a huge thing and done this whole – their Atmos mixes are called Spatial when you go to iTunes. So, you know, basically you come in and mix, you know, you're mixing for film. This particular studio is the only certified Atmos mix room in Nashville for film and TV and so forth. So it's like, as well as mixing for records too. But Apple has put a huge, huge investment in building up their Spatial category, that music category that, you know, involves multiple speakers, but it also involves headphones, you know, selling. It's really, they're wanting to sell billions of headphones to everybody.
Interesting.
So they're upping the technology. Yeah, and once you get to when you come over, when you guys come over, all you come in and sit in the middle and just listen to Rocket Man, which was the first Atmos mix song. Excuse me. The Elton John Rocket Man, which was recorded in 1971. So you will not believe when you hear it encircle you, you know, as Chris Thomason says, he goes, you know, God designed us, you know, to listen to things in 360. So it's finally happening. You know, during those years, there were some 7.1, 3.1, 5.1 type setups, but this thing is like, So the future, it's very, very exciting. And T-Bone Burnett just came over a couple of weeks ago and was working on doing a 5.1 mix for a movie that he did the music for. So There's been a lot of fun. It's been really fun to see, watch all the people, even the people that we would have no idea that they moved here from Hollywood or from California. And so Craig Ferguson was over here. Tony Brown, you know, who is a big producer in town, who produced, you know, all of George Strait's hits and a bunch of Reba hits. And Tony was over here. C.C. Winans was over here a few weeks ago. And then, of course, you know, Quaid, he lives here in Nashville. Dennis Quaid. So he's been over several times.
Yeah.
And what we do is there's a lot of voice, you know, ADR is voice replacement for film. And you can, and gosh, that's been huge amount of people coming in. And part of the Elvis movie, the new Elvis movie that was up for Academy Award, was actually done here. The voice replacement stuff was done here.
Wow. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
So anyway.
Well, I tell people every day, you don't know who has moved into Nashville, because I mean, beautiful place to be. You know, and
I know.
Yeah,
I know. It's a great place to be. They're very appreciative of being here too.
Well, that is so cool.
Yeah, the gorgeous city. That's really wonderful. We need to, Gary, we need to plan a visit. We need to go over and visit studio, and
we'll have you over.
Yeah,
we'll have you over.
We need to go. A matter of fact, we need to go because Chris said he'd buy us lunch or something. So that really makes it attractive. There you go. There you go.
Come on.
Oh, gosh.
It's so good to be with y'all today.
It is so much fun to have you with us. And we just thank the world of you, and we thank the world of Jan, and so glad you're part of our family. And I'm going to get to one more song, and this is one that you wrote with Leslie Satcher. Tell us a little bit about Walk of Fame.
Yeah, Walk of Fame. This is a song that hasn't been released. This isn't necessarily. This is a demo. I thought it'd be good to show a demo, what we do for demos, but it's just such a great song. And Steve Thomas gave us the idea, and Leslie is just a huge, massive songwriter who is from Paris, Texas. And her biggest hit was her biggest number one. She's had a lot of cuts. Was Rendezvous, George Strait, and she Troubadour, sorry, Troubadour. She's written for everybody, and so she I've been able to write with her the last few years, and this is a song called Walk of Fame. It's all about that girl that came over here from wherever and is trying to figure it in the music industry. Let's see what happens. And I also wanted to tell you about that, you know, that last song that we played, El Paso Kid and the New York Lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to give a shout out. I got to give a shout out to Wayne Kirkpatrick, who helped us write that song, helped me write the lyrics for that song. So Wayne has had a massive success with a Broadway musical called Something Rotten. And he wrote all the lyrics for Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith, not all of them, but about 75% of them. And so I had to give a shout out to him anyway. But Leslie, come on, Leslie Satcher from Paris, Texas.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to Walk of Fame. And Chris, thanks again for being with us. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you. Blessings to you guys. And I love you back and can't wait for you all to come over.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Peace.
Walk of Fame. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Maybe. on the beach.
Well, that is a brand new, yet to be released, Walk of Fame by Chris Harris and Leslie Satcher. And Mary Kay, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right.
We didn't get to talk about it very much during his interview, but he has an amazing voice. He is a performing vocalist as well. And, you know, that was cool to hear him featured on that song.
Well, you know, it's like we were saying at the beginning, he has performed on and recorded with and background vocals and guitar on so many different people, as well as producing so many different people, that if we had started going through the entire list, we'd still be talking about it. What a talented guy.
Yeah, different styles, too. I mean, kind of genres. So, yeah,
talented. That is right. Well, it was a fun show, and always great to visit with Chris. Always great to visit with Miss Claudia Nygaard. And so I've just had a good time today, dear.
It's always fun. I get nervous, you know I do, but I'm getting to the point where I know it's going to be fun, so I look forward to it. So that's good.
Well, it's a different side of the mic for you. You're used to being interviewed instead of being the interviewer. But great to have you as part of the show. Well, I want to remind everybody that you can listen to Equestrian Legacy Radio Network's Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America every Thursday, beginning at noon Central Standard Time, live from Nashville on Saturdays, beginning at noon Central Standard Time. and you can listen to all the shows on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iTunes anytime. And you can go back to EquestrianLegacy.net as well and listen. And I think, Mary Kay, that between the Campfire Cafe, which we've done for 11 years with Saddle Up America, we've got close to 800 podcasts you can go back and listen to. So just take a weekend and
listening.
Yeah, you could binge on that. But anyway, it has been so much fun, and we look forward to having you join us again next Saturday for Live from Nashville. Anything that you'd like to say before we say goodbye?
Well, I just want to invite people to come out and join us in Amarillo for our very first Nash West Adventures trip. It's going to be in October, and we've got space for 18 people to join us in Amarillo, Texas, for some sightseeing, going to the winery, and going on a horseback ride through Palo Duro Canyon, and then a real cookout dinner that night. So it's going to be fun, and that's coming up. Registration for that is coming up over this next month.
Yeah, we don't have 18 spaces any longer because people are going ahead and registering and making their reservations. So don't wait. Go to EquestrianLegacy.net. Go to EquestrianLegacy.net and look for Nash West Adventures, and that will give you all the information and the way to get connected and make your reservations there as well. Well, we're going to say goodbye for today, and we'll see you next Saturday on Live from Nashville. And Mary Kay, I think we'll close this out with another song from Chris and Jan Harris. They perform as Rodeo and Juliet, which is a cute, cute name. But this one is called Every Time You Leave. And be sure and join us next week. Thanks for listening.
Every time you leave, you tear the soul.
Some people just know there's a better way to do things, like bundling your home and auto insurance with Allstate, or hiring someone to move your piano instead of doing it yourself. So, do things the better way. Bundle home and auto and save up to 25% with Allstate.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.